WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The measles outbreak in Buckingham County spreads to neighboring Cumberland. A Virginia program called Sunbucks helps feed children when school is out of session, and some farmers markets are participating. And Stanton residents with Valley Supportive Housing help alleviate housing instability there. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 1st. Mary Baldwin University in Stanton is on probation from its accrediting association for financial reasons. WHSV reports the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges placed Mary Baldwin on probation for good cause for 1 year. The association said the university is allegedly not meeting the commission's financial responsibility standard. MBU said on its website that enrollment degrees and federal financial aid are not affected by the probation. The measles outbreak in Buckingham County has expanded into neighboring Cumberland County. That's according to a recent report from the Virginia Department of Health. The Daily Progress reports that Cumberland has a low vaccination rate. Just 64% of two-year-olds in the county have received one measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, shot. The state average is 87%. Altogether, there have been 129 cases of measles this year in the state, likely the highest figure in decades. About 1 in 20 patients have required hospitalization, and none have died. Among patients with measles across the state, almost all were unvaccinated, according to data from the health department. The MMR vaccine is considered the best way to prevent measles. There is no known treatment for the virus, which is considered highly contagious and in rare cases can be deadly. Triple-digit temperatures will be part of Virginia's 4th of July weekend, most likely in areas east of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The National Weather Service is predicting highs around 100 for the WMRA region starting Thursday. The State Health Department is reminding those at higher risk, including adults 65 and older, young children, and pregnant people, or those with health issues, to take precautions by drinking water and limiting time outdoors. Also, bring the pets inside if you can, but if they have to stay outside, make sure they have shade and plenty of water. All of Virginia is experiencing drought conditions, and the majority of the state is under a drought warning from the Department of Environmental Quality. Governor Abigail Spanberger is asking residents to conserve water. One of the ways you can do that is changing how you water your garden, Radio IQ's Roxy Todd reports.
Donna Achimovich is an agriculture expert with Virginia Cooperative Extension. She says one of the biggest mistakes she sees people make with their garden is watering in the middle of the day or evening.
You should go early in the morning and water your plants. Also, when you water your plant, try to deliver water near to the roots. So don't just go and spray on the top of the bush.
Most of the water evaporates if it doesn't sink deep into the soil. Achimovich recommends making sure the water soaks at least 5 to 6 inches underground. She says if you water your plants deeply, you don't have to water them as often, so it will conserve water in the long run. It will also encourage plants to grow strong, deep roots, which is better for their health and will make them more drought tolerant. Another tip is to make sure you're adding organic material, like compost or mulch, to your soil, which will help retain water. It's not clear yet what impact the drought may have for agricultural businesses, but Achimovich says this is one of the worst years she's seen for farmers across Virginia. Many vineyards and berry growers suffered near total losses earlier this spring due to freezes. Last week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture approved disaster assistance for farmers across most of Virginia who lost crops this spring. I'm Roxy Todd.
The Weather Service says the next chance for rain is Saturday and Sunday, with a chance for afternoon thunderstorms both days. This summer, eligible Virginia families will receive Sunbucks, a grocery benefit designed to help feed children when school is out of session. At some farmers markets, those dollars can stretch even further. WMRA's Angelie Schindler reports.
Fresh fruits and vegetables can be hard to afford. For many Virginia families, that's especially true during the summer, when many school meal programs pause and grocery bills rise. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that retail fresh vegetables were nearly 12% more expensive in May compared to this time last year. Prices for fresh tomatoes alone were up 32%. State programs such as Sunbucks and Virginia Fresh Match aim to help bridge the gap between families' income and having fresh produce on the plate. Sunbucks, which launched in 2024, provides a one-time payment of $120 per child to families who qualify for free or reduced-price school meals or receive other income-based public benefits. That money can be used to buy fruits, vegetables, meat, dairy, and whole grains at grocery stores and farmers markets authorized by SNAP.
You know, summer can be a really hungry time for kids.
Jess McClelland is communications manager for Virginia Fresh Match. Fresh Match doubles the value of each Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and Sunbucks dollars spent on fruits and vegetables at participating farmers markets and grocery stores.
So, for example, if I spend $10 in SNAP at the Waynesboro Farmers Market, I'll get $10 in tokens to spend on any SNAP-eligible items. So that could be bread, eggs, meat, anything like that. I'll get an additional $10 in tokens to spend on fresh fruits and vegetables or food-producing plants and seeds.
For Am Showers, a single mother visiting the Waynesboro Farmers Market, healthy food often comes with difficult choices.
Oh, yeah, groceries are really freaking expensive right now.
Showers was recently approved for SNAP benefits after previously relying on them several years ago.
Having SNAP benefits has opened up opportunities to eat healthier and not sit there and like second guess if I can afford to make sure we're both fed all week long with healthy choices.
She says programs that make fresh food more affordable can make a real difference for families living paycheck to paycheck.
And it sucks because it's so expensive to live healthy.
McClelland says that's a challenge she hears often.
Fruits and vegetables are often one of the first things that people cut out of their grocery budgets when they fall on hard times.
McClelland frequently gets feedback from Fresh Match beneficiaries that
this makes a huge difference for my family.
But she says the benefits extend beyond individual shoppers.
All of that money is being spent with local producers, local businesses, people who actually live in the communities and work there and create jobs there.
Virginia Fresh Match estimates that more than $2.2 million in SNAP and matching funds were spent through the program last year, generating roughly $4.1 million in economic impact statewide. The organization says more than 1,000 farmers benefited from those purchases. Brian Jones owns Poplar Ridge Farms in Goshen, which sells produce at the Waynesboro Farmers Market. He says accepting SNAP and Virginia Fresh Match helps connect more families with fresh, locally grown food.
Well, it opens up a lot of doors as far as access goes, not only for us to be able to sell to more folks who might not otherwise be able to purchase, you know, our stuff, but also just from the standpoint of them being able to get high quality stuff for their family.
Jones says those purchases ripple through the local economy.
I think if they knew how many folks they were supporting behind the scenes, and, you know, it is a family operation, but we employ, you know, a large number of people and they're all local. All of our employees come from the community, from the area, and they have families as well. So they're supporting not only our farm, but also, you know, five other families as well.
Many eligible families are automatically enrolled in the Sunbucks program, and benefits are being issued on a rolling basis. To check eligibility requirements and apply for the program, visit the Virginia Department of Social Services website.
We posted photos from the farmers market and links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. Meanwhile, a Charlottesville coalition says it has raised more than $28,000 to provide grocery gift cards to immigrant families facing food insecurity. Anjali has that story.
The grocery card campaign held an online community forum Monday night featuring educators, food pantry staff, and immigrant advocates who said they're seeing a growing need among local immigrant communities. Speakers at the forum said many families are increasingly reluctant to seek help from food pantries and other assistance programs because they're afraid of sharing personal information amid heightened immigration enforcement. They also described seeing more families relying on friends or trusted organizations to pick up food on their behalf. The coalition said the grocery card program is designed to provide emergency assistance with few barriers, allowing families to purchase groceries, diapers, medicine, and other necessities themselves. Organizers also discussed community efforts following recent immigration enforcement activity in Greene County, saying volunteers have been helping connect affected families with food, information, and other support. The Grocery Card Campaign is a partnership of several nonprofits and grassroots groups. Sin Barreras, Keep Going Together, Indivisible Charlottesville, the Central Virginia Community Support Fund, and the Legal Aid Justice Center. Organizers say they hope to raise $45,000 to continue distributing grocery cards through the end of the summer. For WMRA News, I'm Anjali Schindler.
More information at the website and on our app. In downtown Stanton, residents from Valley Supportive Housing have formed a small community around giving back. WMRA's Omega Ilovich reports.
On the third Thursday of every month, LaTanya Nicholson and her fellow volunteers cook up hearty free lunches in Stanton's Trinity Episcopal Church. This past week, more than 30 visitors grabbed trays of lasagna, vegetables, and fruit cocktail.
I see a lot of friends coming through here, so just serving people. I don't mind doing that. I'll do anything to help anybody.
Nicholson has been renting an affordable apartment from Valley Supportive Housing, or VSH, for about 3 years. Founded in 2005, the local nonprofit leases 68 permanent housing units in the Stanton area to individuals facing housing instability due to mental illness. For $550 a month, the apartments promise safe, clean living with utilities and repairs included, a unique resource in a town that faces aging housing stock and increased cost of living. Executive Director Lou Siegel says that when VSH residents sign their lease, they also sign an informal community agreement.
And we want to introduce the idea that you consider that you might have an obligation to basically be a good citizen, to work with folks that live near our complex.
To further promote this sense of community connectivity, Siegel partnered with Trinity Episcopal in 2025, creating monthly volunteer shifts for a small group of VSH residents such as Nicholson. The downtown church offers daily free lunches, supported by a rotation of community groups. More than a year into the program, Siegel says he's seen positive effects on the volunteers.
I'm getting closer with Lou and Tina and Mark. And the people that come through here, I know most of them. Everybody hollers, Granny, everybody knows me.
Siegel plans to offer more volunteer opportunities for VSH residents in the future. For WMRA News, I'm Omega Ilovich.
We've posted photos and links to more information at WMRA.org and on the app. Capping a years-long back-and-forth, Virginia is once again a member of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. Patrick Larson with VPM News explains what's changed.
REGI is, at its core, a carbon market, says University of Virginia economist Bill Shobe. Virginia was a member from 2020 until 2023.
We're essentially building an asset that reflects the value of the atmosphere as a disposal service for carbon dioxide. Well, that asset is really valuable.
He says REGI incentivizes a shift away from fossil fuels. It also allows states to raise funds in quarterly carbon allowance auctions. Those allowances are paid for by electrical utility customers. Virginia previously spent all of its funds on flood preparedness work and home efficiency upgrades, but affordability concerns drove lawmakers to change that split this year. Now, nearly half of REGI funds will be rebated to residential ratepayers, places of worship, and small businesses. Some environmental groups say that takes away from essential climate change mitigation work and will push for another look at how proceeds are spent next year.
Patrick Larson reporting. Lawmakers will delay a contentious assault weapons ban by 1 year. Governor Abigail Spanberger asked for a state budget amendment that would push the ban's start date to July 1, 2027. That passed both chambers Monday, but it was one of a handful of members that Republicans spoke against. The bill used a definition in a new assault weapons ban that has an uncertain future. It has been under legal challenges since Spanberger signed it in April. One of the decisions announced by the U.S. Supreme Court this week was a ruling on a bank robbery case out of Chesterfield County. Whitney Evans with VPM News reports.
The justices ruled 6-3 that the law enforcement technique known as geofencing violates the Fourth Amendment's ban on unreasonable searches. In 2019, local police were able to identify Okello Chatry, the now convicted bank robber, by tapping into a tech firm's database to see who was near the crime scene. A geofence warrant involves drawing a virtual fence around a crime scene, a 150-meter radius in Chatry's case, and serving search warrants to tech companies like Google to provide location data. The court did not determine whether the warrant in Chatry's case was proper. Instead, it returned his case to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals to decide.
Whitney Evans reporting. The Historical Society in Dayton has launched a monthly heirloom market series this summer, inviting local vendors to peddle their wares and crafts handed down through the generations. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Hey, Barbara. At 5 o'clock on the last Thursday in June, people streamed down the sidewalks of Dayton to get to Rocktown History, a museum of the area's history. That's where artisans from around the valley had set up booths offering loose-leaf tea blends, cast-iron housewares, wooden cooking utensils, wood-burned artwork, and rabbits processed for meat. Lauren Zook and her husband Aaron of Raleigh Mountain Supply sell refurbished outdoor gear.
If you, you know, need hiking boots or knives or flashlights or, you know, random outdoor trinkets, that's what you can find in our booth.
This was the first of a market series taking place the fourth Thursday of every month through September at Rocktown History, the Virginia Quilt Museum at Silver Lake Mill, and Fort Harrison. Linda Edwards crochets stuffed animals and fidget toys and writes books about the oral history and photos of lost communities. She has two volumes out now, one on Mount Solon in Mossy Creek and another on Sangerville in Stokesville. One story is about the namesake of Todd Lake, a mountaineer named James Todd.
He was a hunter and knew the mountains like the back of his hand. One day, he came home and Robert E. Lee wanted to talk to him. He wanted him to guide him through the mountains during Lee's West Virginia campaign. If we don't write these things down, they'll be gone.
The next heirloom market will take place July 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll find photos of the market at WMRA.org and on our app. Finally today, Dominion Energy is planning to put a new transmission line in Northern Virginia. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
Rock Ridge High School and Rosa Lee Carter Elementary School in Ashburn sit on land that's valuable to Dominion Energy, which wants to run a high-voltage electric transmission line through it. Because the land is owned by the school division, the Loudoun County School Board has dominion over the property, but has been reluctant to vote for infrastructure that supports data centers. Here's Greg Mathey at Dominion Energy.
So I'm not quite sure where the school board stands on everything, but given the urgent reliability need for this project, we're sort of disappointed by the continued efforts that could delay this project. And we want the school board to take action on what the SEC gave it responsibility to do.
He says that responsibility is to take some kind of action. But so far, it's been delay after delay. David Ramadan is a former Republican delegate who represented Loudoun County in the General Assembly. He's now at George Mason University's Schar School, and he says the Loudoun County school board members are in a bind.
Any elected official is going to find themselves in a pretty tough situation with their constituents if they vote to approve power lines through the community.
The name of the transmission line project is called Golden to Mars, because it connects the Golden substation in Data Center Alley to the Mars substation near Dulles Airport. Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.